Thank you, Sean. I didn't want him to be late. I always get up early anyway, but anyway, I'm thankful that you could all be here. I'd like to start this morning. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour. But I would like to start in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, once I find it. I'm going to start in the 8th verse, and it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Was this something secret that he said to Isaiah? I don't believe so. This was like Nephi in the third chapter of Helaman, the 119th verse. "Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels." It was not any secret, you see. These things that happen to us, both good and bad, show us where we are spiritually. And Isaiah wasn't any different. I believe that the Lord told others the same thing, but Isaiah was the one that heard it. I want to go back to the 5th verse of that chapter 6 in Isaiah. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." "Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels." It wasn't a secret. Isaiah knew what kind of a man he was, and knew that he wasn't up to the task without divine help. But the one thing was, I don't believe it was just to Isaiah. He was the only one that was in tune enough to hear it. Are you in tune to hear the Lord's voice? And if you do, do you recognize it and know that it is Him? A good friend of mine from Canada always used to say to me, "The journey is the destination." I am absolutely convinced that the trial the trials that show us where we are spiritually. I want you to go to Acts, the 21st chapter. And I want to start in the 10th verse. And this is about Paul before he becomes a prisoner. "And as he tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. It changed Paul. He knew that he was going to be a prisoner. Would you do that? Would you have that fortitude to trust in God to say, well, let's get on with this? I don't think there would be many that would. You see, God asks us to do things for him. And for most of us, we say no. That's too difficult for me. If you go back to the 20th chapter, I'm going to give you a little more insight into this. And it's no different than Isaiah. Who will I send? Send me. 20th chapter of Acts, 22nd through the 24th verse. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul knew somewhat what was going to happen. Did God give you the assurance he had made that kind of commitment? Have you? No matter what he wants to send you, that like Isaiah, you're not only in tune enough to hear, who will we send? Should he have feared? If we were a normal man, yes. But he knew who he trusted. It's the Spirit that God gives us and how we have that relationship with him that we trust. Nothing else matters. Paul knew that. Not family, not anything. It was that relationship, that trust that he had in God. I want you to go to Alma, page 365. And this is about another man. This is the 12th chapter of Alma. And I want to give you a little bit of background. This was Ammon. And I'm going to start in the 32nd verse. And thus Ammon was carried before the king who was over the land of Ishmael. And his name was Lamoni. And he was a descendant of Ishmael. And the king inquired of Ammon if it were his desire to dwell in the land among the Lamanites or among his people. And Ammon said unto him, yes, I desire to dwell among this people for a time, yea, and perhaps until the day I die. And it came to pass that King Lamoni was much pleased with Ammon and caused that his bands should be loosened, and that Ammon should take one of his daughters to wife. But Ammon said unto him, nay, but I will be thy servant. Therefore Ammon became a servant to the king Lamoni. And it came to pass that he was set among other servants to watch the flocks of Lamoni, according to the custom of the Lamanites. Your whole way of life just changed in a moment. That he was willing to give up everything, his way of life, his brothers, his freedom, to serve God in a different capacity. And these are just some of the examples of what some of these men were willing to do. You think you have that ability to do that? Now, it didn't take long for God to create the circumstances to show forth his power through Ammon. Did it? Now, he was a shepherd. Now, and all these guys have scattered the sheep, and so the rest of the shepherds are just beside themselves and just so upset because they know that they are going to lose their lives for this. And so he convinces them that it will be okay. So if they just help him, it will be okay. It's just one problem. Well, there's more than just one problem. But God keeps his word. And you have to know that. Let's go to page 366. And I'm going to start in the 50th verse down through the 67th. And there were a number, not a few, therefore they did not fear Ammon, for they supposed that one of their men could slay him according to their pleasure. For they knew not that the Lord had promised Messiah that he would deliver his sons out of their hands, neither did they know anything concerning the Lord. Therefore they delighted in the destruction of their brethren, and for this cause they stood to scatter the flocks of the king. But Ammon stood forth and began to cast stones at them with a sling. Yea, and mighty power he did sling stones amongst them. And thus he slew a certain number of them, insomuch that they began to be astonished at his power. Nevertheless, they were angry because of the slain of their brethren, and they were determined that he should fall. Therefore, seeing that they could not hit him with their stones, they came forth with clubs to slay him. But behold, every man that lifted his club to smite Ammon, he smote off their arms with his sword. For he did withstand their blows by smiting their arms with the edge of the sword, insomuch that they began to be astonished and began to flee before him. Yea, and they were not few in number, and he caused them to flee by the strength of his arm. Now six of them had fallen by the sling, but he slew none save it were their leader with the sword, and he smote off as many of their arms as were lifted against him, and they were not a few. And when he had driven them afar off, he returned, and they watered their flocks and returned them to the pasture of the king, and then went in under the king, bearing the arms which had been smote off by the sword of Ammon of those who sought to slay him. And they were carried in under the king for a testimony of the things which they had done. And it came to pass that King Lamoni caused that his servant should stand forth and testify to all the things which they had seen concerning the matter. And when they had all testified of the things which they had seen, and he had learned of the faithfulness of Ammon in preserving his flocks, and also of his great power in contending against those who sought to slay him, he was astonished exceedingly and said, surely this is more than a man. Behold, is not this the great spirit who doth send such great punishment upon the people before because of their murders? And they answered the king and said, whether he be the great spirit or a man, we knoweth not. But this much we do know, that he cannot be slain by the enemies of the king, neither can he. They scatter the king's flock when he is with them. because of his expertness and great strength, therefore we know that he is a friend of the king. And now, O king, we do not believe that a man has such great power, for we know that he cannot be slain. You see, God is faithful in everything. This was Ammon showing off God's power for his glory. We show off our power for our glory. Look what I did. Or can do. Our abilities he gives us. Now what Ammon had done, they were all amazed. So let's go over the page. Page 369, the 84th verse. And this is where he goes in to see the king. And thus he said unto him, Rabbana, the king desireth thee to stay. Therefore, Ammon turned himself unto the king and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do for thee, O king? And the king answered him not for the space of an hour, according to their time, for he knew not what he should say unto him. And it came to pass that Ammon said unto him again, What desirest thou of me? But the king answered him not. And it came to pass that Ammon, being filled with the Spirit of God, therefore he perceived the thoughts of the king, and he said unto him, Is it because thou hast heard that I defended thy servant and thy flocks, and slew seven of their brethren with the sling and with the sword, and smote off the arms of others, in order to defend thy flocks and thy servants? Behold, it is this that causeth thy marvelings. I say unto you, what it is that thy marvelings are so great. Behold, I am a man, and am thy servant, therefore whatsoever thou desirest, which is right, that will I do. But notwithstanding, this king Lamoni did open his mouth and said unto him, Who art thou? Art thou the great spirit who knows all things? Ammon answered and said unto him, I am not. And the king said, How knowest thou the thoughts of my heart? Thou mayest speak boldly and tell me concerning these things, and also tell me of what power ye slew and smote off the arms of the brethren and scattered my flock, that scattered my flock. And if we go over to the 112th, I'm going to skip some of this. Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and a man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by that Holy Spirit to teach these things unto the people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God. Now you notice that his desires were of God. And a portion of that Spirit. Who will we send? I know I sound like a broken record. This is vitally important to have this portion of this Spirit. And Ammon knew this. Without this, he was just another man. Paul, I'm sure, wasn't sure how it would end for him either. But his testimony of who God was and the relationship that he had with God was first and foremost in his life. We seem to worry about someone else, what they're doing or what they've done. This is about our relationships. This is about how we hear our Lord's voice, how he changes us. How we can better serve him. You know, when I look in the scriptures, you know, and I can relate to Paul and Ammon, but I'm a lot like some of the other apostles. You know, and some of them said, you know, well, we've given up these things for you, Lord. Really? What did he give up for us? There is nothing that he cannot do. I am absolutely sure of that. And Ammon knew that. But it was a process to go through to get to that point. You know, a sister of mine one time, this was when I was first in the gospel, out in Washington. She had an incredible relationship with the Lord, that he showed her things, would talk to her. And he appeared to her one day and he says to her, he says, "What is it that you desire?" And she said to him, she says, "Well," she said, "I'd like a house." Said, didn't ask for long life, didn't ask for just a simple thing. Says, "There's just one catch. You've got to be willing to give it up." Hannah was the same way. She wanted a son so bad. In Samuel, the first chapter of Samuel, that she was willing to give it up. She had other children after that. You see, to have that knowledge and that understanding of who God is, we were always looking at what's in it for me. And at some point, we will have to give up our lives. But the things that he asks of us, he wants us to be obedient. And I find that there are so few that don't have the relationship with our Lord that we desire to have. Myself included. Yes, he does show me things every now and again. But how do we spend that time? The only way that you have a better relationship is how? It's by spending time with someone. Whether it's with your wife or with your children or with anyone. And God wants us to have that. We put our trust in man, even our spiritual trust. And even the trials that we go through, and I believe that they are so important because they tell us where we are spiritually. They do. They tell us where we are spiritually. That's how God reveals himself to us. Well, you didn't do a very good job on that one, did you? Just like Paul on the journey to Rome. Shipwreck wasn't by accident. You know, and this guy was a prisoner. And yet, on that shipwreck, on that journey, they were 14 days in that storm. You think it didn't change everyone else on that ship also? Of course it did. Pretty soon he was in charge. But he was just a prisoner. You see, we look at those trials as going, you know, they're just for us. That's not necessarily true. Those trials, depending on how we react, affect a lot of other people. If you believe that it was the power of God that created that storm, which I do, it was the power of God that also gave Paul the opportunity. Do you exhibit that spirit in your life? Do people see something different in you that God is able to show to the world that He is still here? Do you see that as a servant that you have an insight and a knowledge that the rest of the world does not possess? And it is only through the Spirit that we can. You know, I'm kind of amazed because, you know, Paul, in the 28th, we'll stay in Acts here, 28th chapter of Acts here, and I think, because he tells us, I'm going to send someone I want you to talk to. And this, you know, he picks who he wants you to talk to. There's no doubt in my mind that everything is engineered. And so I want to go to the 28th chapter, the 24th verse. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. He wasn't going to waste their time, but he wasn't going to waste Paul's either. That Holy Ghost was that discriminating that it didn't waste Paul's time. The work was that important. I want to go to Romans, the first chapter, and I want to go the the 15th verse of that, the next page there, first chapter of Romans. So as many as in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Ammon knew it. And we should also. This gospel is life-changing and should be life-changing, not only for us, but also for people around us. I want you to go to Philippians, 4th chapter. I thought I had it marked. Thirteenth verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. all things. What is God not able to do? There is nothing that he is not able to do. There is nothing that you can't do without that, with that Spirit on us. It strengthens me. I know it strengthens you because it tells us that he is there right beside me. He confirms to us his love for us. We have so many things that get in the way of that pride. Our commitment to other things, and I don't care what they are, they rob us of our relationship with God. All the problems in the church and in our lives lose their power over us when we turn our lives totally to him, like Paul or like Ammon. Not easy to do. And very few have done it. And I can tell you for myself that there are things that I need to overcome. There are many things that I need to overcome because I desire that. I desire that relationship, that closeness, that I might know his will. We can draw closer to him and be that peculiar people, zealous of good works. Last scripture, and I want you to go to 2 Timothy. And it's the first chapter, and it's the 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What is God not able to do? I do not believe that there is anything that he is not able to do, both in the physical and spiritual. And so I pray that he will bless you and keep you for the rest of the week. And I pray that you keep me in your prayers for the things that he has called me to do and the things that he desires for me to change about my life, which are many, believe me. And so I pray that the Lord would allow you to also be his servants in so many different ways that we might glorify him. And whatever we say and whatever we do, and I thank you very much for your time.